Welcome, welcome.
Isn't this cool weather nice? Next week will be even better.
It's supposed to get better tonight. It's supposed to get real nice tonight.
Nice and dry and cool and breezy.
Hope something comes through to like dry out my lungs, because I've still got that grunge kicking. But
what do you see?
That thing hanging off my roof. It's like a ghost. After watching that that Pet Cemetery trailer, things got a little creepy. It's new digs. It's daytime.
Yeah.
We don't usually record in the daytime, and we don't usually record
here.
Yeah,
that's true. It is a lot earlier than we usually record.
So it's all right. It's all right. Just getting used to the new stuff. And then look, there's a woodpecker up there. Look, he's making sawdust.
Ah, sure, good to you.
There's a chainsaw in the background. Kick us into the Halloween season. In the Halloween mood. So, all right, welcome to episode 106 of Scary Dad Podcast, where we talk about all things scary. It is October 22nd. We got basically 1 week left before the big shebang for Halloween. So, given that our official 2-year anniversary was sometime between the middle of last week and the week before, right. Somehow in there. We wanted to do an episode where we just discussed kind of the 2 years in retrospect. We talked about our favorite episodes, but we hadn't talked about a lot of the people that we've met along the way.
Right.
And a lot of those people are probably sick of us because we've been dealing with Halloween show. So we wanted to give break. We wanted to give them a little bit of a break before we started blowing up their podcast feeds with shout-outs. but yeah, so this will be a big two-part Halloween
celebration
extravaganza. And we're just going to kind of take it slow, take it easy. We're going to come to the end and stop and then start over again. And according to the Mad Hatter, that's logic. So without further ado, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. On this date in AD 362, the Temple of Apollo at Daphne is destroyed by a mysterious fire. Interestingly enough, I clicked on all of the hyperlinks in that sentence, and it didn't take me to the story of the fire. So,
it's mysterious.
Yeah, 362, something significant enough happened to pop into the first entry on this date in history.
There's no info on it.
But there's no info on it, so that makes it even more mysterious. That's why I wrote it down. Normally, I would have just been like, so what? You know, Cousin Fred's drunken brother, like, you know, tripped over and burnt it down.
That's, maybe it was a gender reveal party.
Maybe it was. Somebody with Tannerite.
An early gender reveal party.
Okay, this should give a little bit of, I don't know, call it a little bit of mea culpa for some Ivy Leaguers out there. But on this date in 1746, the College of New Jersey got its charter. It later changed its name to Princeton. But ain't nobody walking around being like, oh yeah, I got my undergrad at the College of New Jersey. It just doesn't sound as cool.
It doesn't sound as good. No. You think it's something in HVAC repair or something like that.
That's it. And New Jersey. The only thing good ever came out of New Jersey was Jason Voorhees, and he's killed like 165 people. I'm joking. If you live in New Jersey, I'm just messing around.
Sure, it's a great place. I haven't visited there.
Well, hey, the Sopranos was from New Jersey, so that's pretty cool. So, okay, on this date in 1784, Russia founds a colony on Kodiak Island in Alaska.
Try to sneak in the back door.
That's it. Alaska's huge.
It's a big, big.
It used to be, because I'm from Texas, man. It used to bug me whenever they're like, Alaska's bigger, and I'd always want to be like,
There's but no way.
Then you see a picture of Texas superimposed on a picture of Alaska. You're like, yeah.
It's a little bit bigger.
you got it. You got a lot of stuff named after bears up there, too. So we already discussed how badass bears are.
Yeah.
Okay, in this date, 1797, the first recorded parachute jump. It's 3,200 feet above Paris.
That's not a very... It's not a very high quick. Jump. You got to be quick with your parachute on that one.
Now, I found it interesting that it's called the first recorded parachute jump, because apparently there had been others that they just didn't write down.
It was one successful, so they forgot like, about it.
Well...
It's not good for your parachute business.
You have to wonder sometimes. I know we speak in jest and we talk about like horror movies and body counts and lots of dead stuff. But you know, it's like somebody like gets you, everybody gather up. It's 9 o'clock in the morning and this dude's going to jump off this building and show that his parachute works. Okay, so now it's like 9:04. What are you going to do the rest of the day? Like, you got to do something. You're going to go to lunch.
Right, eventually.
You remember that sandwich? You're like, man, right after that dude jumped off the building and didn't survive, I went and had a sandwich.
We got an egg salad.
All right, now we're getting to some important news. In this date, in 1836, Sam Houston is inaugurated as the first president of the Republic of Texas. Hell yeah. Drink a toast
drink to that one.
To Mr. Sam. Okay. I usually don't write religious stuff down unless it's pretty bloody. This is just one of those that's funny. On this date in 1844, it's called the Great Anticipation. A group of Millerites, followers of one William Miller, anticipate the end of the world in anticipation of the second advent of Christ. The following day became known as the Great Disappointment.
Apropos.
At least they didn't kill themselves. At least they just went back to whatever they was they were
damn,
doing.
We got an egg salad sandwich. Damn it. Yes. They wait a little bit longer. Red Heifer wasn't here yet.
Okay, he keeps popping up. He was a busy man in the late summer, early fall. But on this date in 1879, Thomas Edison tests the first incandescent light bulb. It lasted 13.5 hours before burning out.
And now it's illegal to own one.
Yes.
And they're so good.
They last forever.
The difference in light is just, you can't compare it to what we have now.
Mm-mm. That's why they sell all those really expensive, like, specialty incandescents, the Edison bulbs,
yeah,
because they actually do light better.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to drive down streets and you'd see houses with lights in the windows and they were yellow? Mm-hmm. And it was like, seemed kind of comforting on the other side of those curtains. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's warm and cozy.
No more.
Not so much anymore. The sodium lights in the... And the streetlights have all turned into LEDs now,
yeah,
too.
I know.
And it's very stark. It's very warts and all. It's not as cozy and comforting.
Yeah, it's not as good of a light. It's just no comparing. I remember when I used to hit up estate sales. This happened twice. I found back in the late 70s, early 80s, there were these sun lights that you could buy to tan at home. And it was funny because they were like, there's like warnings on the packages saying, you know, do not hold within 20 inches of your face because it can like immediately cause cancer and shit.
Oh, damn.
They're totally outlawed now, but I would find them. And I'm assuming guys that had grow operations, they look for those fixtures and those bulbs because you can't buy those bulbs anymore. And they would pay top dollar for that shit, dude.
Hey man, they're sunlight.
The actual lamps themselves, you can sell for a couple hundred bucks, and the bulbs go for $60 a piece. Yeah, it's huge bulbs. It's not like, but yeah, that's what it was. It just it mimics sunlight so well.
I love You know, sometimes I go to estate sales. The way estate sales work, unfortunately, is really kind of depressing because the families get these estate sale companies in there, and then the companies email all their friends who they know is interested in stuff. So they sell off all the good stuff, like, way before the estate sale opens. So they sell off all of the guns, they sell off all of the, like good jewelry and, like, any of that stuff. Then they go through eBay. So, like, you walk around estate sales and you're like, I know what this is. I have one of those, and I know it's not $30. You know, it's like, and so, like, a lot of estate sales are kind of bunk.
I got kicked out of an estate sale one time for calling them out on their pricing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. They were Eastern European. I'm not sure exactly what language, but the accents were obvious. They cursed me out in whatever language they were speaking in.
Well, pricing is one thing whenever it's like an individual family. Like, I could put a price tag on this beer and be like, hey, man, if you want it, $5. No, I mean, we used to go to concerts back in the day.
Yeah.
And we'd have floaters in the cooler after we'd been at a like day-long festival. We'd have bottles of water and beers floating in there. People would walk by and be like, hey, man, I'll give you $5 for a beer. It's like, fucking A. And after about 20 minutes or so, we'd go buy a bootleg T-shirt. You know, like, but
I think I went to this
place. You can price whatever you want. It's whether somebody buys. But, yeah, I mean, if you're with the companies that go in there and they're like, oh, well, this is going on eBay for $30, so we're going to price it at $34.99. You're like, dude, come on.
Well, I actually used to show them, you know, let me show you how you look up eBay pricing. You don't look at what it's listed for. You go over here and you click this button that says sold for. And
yeah.
She was mad, dude. But she had already pissed me off because the reason I drove all the way to Pasadena for this estate sale early to get in line because they had a reel-to-reel that I wanted. So I wanted to get there early, get in line, jump in there, and just grab that reel-to-reel. Drive an hour and a half to get there. They went ahead and opened it up early.
Oh, no.
I was mad. I was furious. I was like, no, you can't do that. You said this time is this estate sale opening up. Yeah, so I was already pissed off, and that just made me even angrier.
Well, if I find a grow light,
I'll give you a shout out.
Man, I've seen some stuff lately. I thought about calling you. I was at a hit up. It was a house estate sale. It had already kind of been bitten, picked through, but they had a whole room of VHSs.
Oh, okay.
Like shelving and stuff. And it was, you know, like, I would have gotten all of the horror stuff.
Right.
But all the horror stuff I either already had.
Okay.
Or the tapes were not in good condition. But there was a lot of just, like, mainstream stuff, like Top Gun and RoboCop and stuff like that. It was in, like, good condition VHS.
Right.
And I know you buy and turn that stuff sometimes, yeah. So. But it just... I knew where you were down south, and it was like 4 o'clock, and they closed at 5. Okay. So it was like, and I'm not going to buy a whole bunch of boxes of VHSs.
Just in case.
Yeah, my wife's going to be like, what the hell's wrong with you? Okay, you guys have seen this picture on the internet, I'm sure. Especially like if somebody's posting about how bad a band sounds. My old band used to have this picture commenting on our Facebook often. But in 1895, an express train overruns the buffer stop and crashes through a wall and then falls 10 meters to the ground below. And if you look up train wreck, it's like the first response. It's this train hanging out the wall and like crashed to the ground. Okay, on this date in 1934, in Ohio, the FBI shoots gangster Pretty Boy Floyd. And on this date in 1957, the first U.S. casualties in Vietnam.
Okay.
57. We went all the way back.
Right.
All right. Notable births. Happy birthday on this date. Three Stooges. Blah, 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 Curly Howard.
Nice. Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
On this date in 1920, Dr. Timothy Leary. On this date in 1938, Great Scott, Christopher Lloyd. 1942, Annette Funicello, the most famous of all the Mouseketeers.
Yep.
1952, none other than Jeff Goldblum. I plan on probably watching The Fly tonight, if not tonight, then tomorrow.
Man. That's a good movie.
I haven't seen it in I mean, I've seen it dozens of times, but I haven't seen it.
Fresh eyes on it if you want.
Yeah, I want to.
I got it at home.
So I picked it up on VHS not too long ago, and it's been probably 4 or 5 years since I've seen it.
Okay.
I keep seeing clips of it, and I'm like, oh, that movie's so awesome. And in 1963, has nothing to do with horror, but only because of the song from South Park. And this date, 1963, Mr. Brian Boitano.
South Park has the weirdest shit.
They really do. So much. What would Brian Boitano do? Some figure skater from back in the day? We all know what...
that one where they had that monster in the woods. This is like early days of South Park.
The man, bear, pig?
No. This is the early days of South Park. There was a monster in the woods who had a John Stamos leg. His leg was John Stamos.
Just bizarre. You know, they just recently got named the most offensive TV show in all of his, like, all history.
But they offend everybody. That's what I love about
that show. Well, yeah, of course. Whenever you get into an office and you sit down and you're like, okay, who's pissed and what are they pissed off about? Now let's poke that bear. Let's just poke it until they get pissed off.
Just like when they took on the Church of Scientology, that was awesome.
That was so great. And the Mormons... Yeah. Republicans, Democrats, everybody. They're just like equal opportunity offenders. And I love that. Like, you can have it's the way entertainment used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be like Saturday Night Live. Yeah, they'd poke fun at the president, but it wasn't their whole damn show.
Right.
And the jokes, they at least tried to land jokes.
Right.
So
they wouldn't just keep going with the same old stale thing. It was more original.
Yeah.
Back in the day. They have a target audience now that they try to appeal to, and that's it. They're not worried about any other demographic.
That's the people who still watch TV, which is not many.
No.
Okay, notable deaths on this date. 2016, we lost Steve Dillon from Preacher.
Yeah. I never got an autograph. I got a lot of Garth Ennis stuff signed, but I never got a Steve Dillon autograph.
There's a lot of guys out there. Like, I was never a real big autograph hound. Then I started picking them up, and again, Bernie Wrightson, I had countless opportunities from different shows that he was at to get Bernie Wrightson autographs. It just never occurred to me to dig through my shit and send it with somebody, because if I wasn't going to go to the show, my opinion of it was, if I'm not there to meet them and have them sign it, like, and have it be an experience.
Yeah, it doesn't mean.
It doesn't mean as much.
Right.
But then, like, you know, looking back, I've got so much rights and stuff that, at different times, like, I never got a chance to meet him. This is the last time I had the presence of mind to pull a bunch of stuff that was close to my heart.
Right.
And ask, like, hey, I can't go to Comic Palooza, but can somebody go get this stuff signed? And our friend Daniel Hoffman was like, I'll do that. And I was like, I only gave him like 3 or 4 books. I was like, I don't want to overwhelm him.
See, I was the same way. And there's so much stuff I wish I would have brought to have him sign. But only I wanted to limit it. I just brought a short stack.
But
one thing I wish I would have had him sign, that Frankenstein poster I have. That would be just sweet.
Well, and I gave him the was it Weird Mystery Tales? Number one, it's the first issue of one of those series where Bernie Wrightson and Marv Wolfman created the character of Destiny, who was a host of Weird Mystery Tales.
Okay.
Later, Destiny was revamped and put as a brother to Dream in the Sandman series. So it was something, that's the reason I bought the book, was because it was tied in with that Sandman series, and then found out that Bernie Wrightson created him. It was like, ooh, that's badass. It is not a wonderfully well-conditioned copy. It was the one that was available in my price range, and I bought it. But Daniel said whenever he took it to Bernie was all excited. He's like, well, I haven't seen one of these in a long time. Like, enthusiastically signed it,
that's
flipped
awesome.
Through pages, and was like pointing at panels and stuff, and it was really cool.
It is cool.
So I wish I would have been there to see that. But now, if I have an opportunity, if I can't make it, I send it with somebody to get
just to
that.
Get it done. Right.
Yeah. Excuse me. Man, my voice is just not working these days. Which sucks when you're on a podcast.
Yeah, because it kind of your voice is pretty important.
A couple weeks ago, I called Scott, and I'm like, dude. Only when I called him, I was like, dude, I got a little bit of a problem. I don't have a voice. It's come and gone. It's just this time of the year. I turned into a monster. But hey, I mean, that ran a little bit long, but that is old business. We're going to take a break real quick and come back with some new. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the Horrorthon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
Here we are.
Let's do it.
And we'll get right into it.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay. So we did a trailer a little while ago for Pet Sematary, the remake. The directors say it's going to be a hard R. It's going to be a dark movie. Which
sure as hell better be.
It's a dark story, so it should be a dark
movie. Yeah, there's no way you could possibly make that movie kid-friendly.
Watching the trailer, I'm not as excited about it as I was before. One, what I always worry about remakes is if it ends up not being, to me, as good as the last, or if it falls away from the course the last one was, you'll have a whole generation of people that may never see the original and be able to appreciate, you know, Fred Gwynn's performance as Judd and stuff like that. And that's what worries me about this particular iteration of it. Love John Lithgow, but he's no Fred Gwynn when it comes to that character. The Fred Gwynn character, it's like it popped out of the book, you know, because I remember in the book, they very, in very much detail, go into what Judd's accent is like, you know, how he talks, how he carries himself. And Fred Gwynn just pulled that from the pages and personified it so well. Also, the, you know, part of the mystique of the Pet Sematary is there's the innocent little Pet Sematary for the kids that lose their pets and everything. And in this remake, they show this Children of the Corn type tribe of children in weird animal masks. It shouldn't be there. Because that was the innocent part. It was beyond
the trees
is where it was bad. You know, it makes it seem as though that part is evil also. And I just...
That was weird. But that also could be a dream sequence as well.
Yeah.
You never know from a trailer.
Right.
I've seen a lot of stuff recently that shows like, oh, what if, you know, modern trailers for old movies. And it's like, shoom, 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 shoom. You know, it's like... Yeah, they've got the color treatment and the sound effects. I'm gonna give it its due. Now here's the thing with Pet Sematary. That book is a hard pill to swallow. I've seen that movie one time and that was enough for me. I'm not gonna do a fresh eyes on Pet Sematary.
I've seen it several times.
I read that book and saw that movie before I had children. And the descriptions of the loss, outside of the evil, but just the descriptions of the loss were such that I almost can't see that without being, I hate using the internet word, but triggered.
Right.
Like, I look at it and I'm like, no, I don't want to see it. Somebody posted a YouTube video of that scene where the truck hits Gage. There's no spoilers in that. That's a major plot point.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch the video all the way through. I saw it. I was like, it was on silent. It was just one of those autoplay videos. I was like, nope, and scrolled right past it. Like, I will give the remake a viewing. I will watch it to compare, but my memory comparison is going to be whenever the first movie came out, because there's several sequels, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Low budget.
Yeah,
crap
well,
fests.
The second one had what's his name from Terminator 2.
Yeah, but I don't plan on watching that one again. And I don't plan on reading that damn book again either. That's sometimes dead is best. Like, leave it alone. Leave it in the past.
Sometimes dead is better.
That said, you're right about Fred Gwynne's performance. I mean, if you think about him as an actor, I mean, he was like on Car 54. He was in like character actor and different stuff. Obviously, he's in The Munsters. And yeah, The Munsters being a lighthearted sitcom. But then you think about how heavy his makeup and costuming was. And the fact that he could still be a lovable, dear old dad behind all of that monster makeup. Like, he basically emoted with his eyes and his voice.
Well, look at him in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, you know, as a judge.
He jumped into that role, and you'd swear he was from Georgia.
He was incredible. So, yeah, all props to Fred Gwynne. Dude's incredible. And John Lithgow...
Remarkable actor. I love everything he's done. I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to watch the movie.
But I did. Yeah.
When he said in the trailer, sometimes dead is better, I was like, that doesn't sound right at all.
Thing about John Lithgow, though, he's a mimic. So it's very possible he did it. And they're like, yo, tone it down. You sound too much like the original. Right. So we'll see. Because he's the best thing that movie has as far as actors.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know any of the rest of them.
Right. But. Okay, so just on a side note real quick. I don't know if you saw this video the other day, but I can't remember his name, but one of the guys from Insane Clown Posse, Fred Durst, is doing a concert. And the guy from Insane Clown Posse runs across the stage and tries to drop kick him in the middle of his show and missed. Fell over. He just kind of bumped his shoulder a little bit, and Fred Durst turned around. And he made some comments about it. A friend, the Rad Rican Anthony Martinez, posted it on Facebook, and with the comment, "What decade is this? We got Fred Durst and a guy from ICP at a concert." It was just the weirdest.
I didn't even click on it because I was just like, "Why do I care if these two have beef?"
It's funny. It's a funny video because he missed bad, dude. He busted his ass.
But were, like, they playing on a double bill or something?
I guess they were. Because he was backstage, and he came up on stage and shit. But apparently, they got some kind of beef going on. I don't know.
That's...
Okay.
Was he all in clown gear?
No, he wasn't dressed in his clown gear. No.
That would have made it even cooler. I never listened to ICP.
I listened to a few of their songs. I dig some of their stuff, but...
That was...
I'm not a juggalo, for sure.
No, that was just, like, one of those things. Like, that whole rap rock shit just flew right over my head. Like, I was kind of there at the beginning with, like, Faith No More, mm-hmm. where they were kind of testing the waters, and then you had, like, what was that soundtrack?
Judgment Night?
Judgment Night, where you had a whole bunch of, like, Biohazard and Onyx and stuff. So you had a whole lot of, like, metal acts mixing with hip-hop and stuff. But the thing was, probably sounds incredibly insensitive in this day and age. As long as you had one band that had a style and another band that had a style, and they came together and mixed styles and made something new, it sounded refreshing and cool. Mm-hmm. When you had a band that was based around that refreshing and cool thing, didn't sound so cool. So like Limp Bizkit, kicked to the curb almost immediately. It's like screamy and rappy, like, nah, dude, come on. It's like Sublime could get away with it, but it's because they were somewhere a mix between like hip hop and metal and punk, and they had so many different things that they never stuck on one thing through the whole set. Yeah. So
what about Rage Against the Machine? Did you dig them?
I never liked them.
Okay.
Never dug Rage.
The only thing I didn't like about them is I was bouncing in a college bar at the time, and it would just cause problems every time their song, because it was an alternative club, and we'd have pits on the floor, and that would just cause chaos every time one of their songs came on.
Thing about Rage Against the Machine was I always saw it as, like, and again, using modern terms for stuff back then, it's like there's a bunch of privileged white kids bitching about, like,
oppression.
Well, not Rage Against the Machine themselves. Rage fans are like, oh, the Sandinistas.
Yeah, they're wearing Che Guevara and shirts like, and everything.
It's like, okay, you're wearing Che Guevara shirts and stuff, but you're also driving your Land Rovers to, you know, to wherever. So, like, yeah, you're a bunch of privileged white kids. You're not actually doing anything. You're just listening to a band.
Right.
And it just, it fell flat for me. It's like, so, plus... Maybe it's because, I mean, my sonic appreciation for things has changed over time. But it always bugged me that their music was so just like, junga, 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 like, rrr. You had an angry guy.
Angry.
But he's all sound so little, like a cartoon character. Like, Mel Blanc could have done a perfect Zach Rocha.
Yeah.
Zach De La Rocha. Like, I would pay to hear like a Mel Blanc impression. Fuck you! I won't do what you tell me, Mom. You won't let me use the Range Rover. That's not fair. People are dying in Africa. You know, like. And of course, with my bad throat, like that doesn't like come over. But still, like.
We get the gist. Okay.
You put me on a roll, man. You put me on a roll. What you going to do?
As you know, Hurricane Mike is barreling down on the Florida coast as we speak. So
huge.
Yeah. It popped out of nowhere, dude, and built up to Category 4 all of a sudden. But hurricanes come. Florida man evacuates.
Where'd it go now?
I went to North Dakota, where 21-year-old aspiring rapper Zachary Burdick, high on meth, entered the Spirit of Life Church 9 o'clock in the morning. Immediately took all his clothes off and bathed in the holy water. Then proceeded to walk down the aisle while playing with himself and masturbating in front of all the people in the church. He was immediately arrested. There's just hilarious photos of this 21-year-old aspiring white rapper. He was arrested on drug, criminal mischief, and indecent exposure charges. The preschool children were at the service at the time. His Facebook suggests he's a 21-year-old aspiring rapper with a penchant for marijuana. Performs under the stage name Unknown without an O, so he shortened it for texting purposes.
I guess it makes the Frog Brothers kicking into that church to fill up their water guns not as bad.
Okay. You know, I like that that Night Terrors augmented reality video game, right? Well, Oren Peli, who created Paranormal Activity, is working with them right now to release a new horror game called Night Terrors Bloody Mary. It's going to be released this Friday as an app. It sounds pretty badass. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be full of demons and spirits and everything else.
But that's the virtual reality game?
Yeah, where you put the headphones on, put it in your virtual reality viewer, and walk around your house. The way it works is you walk around your house a few times, it learns the layout where all the corners are and stuff, and then that's when the fun kicks in. And the thing that makes it the best part of it is just, especially if you can use noise cancellation headphones to put on while you're playing it, it really, really creeps you out because you can actually, it gets to a point where you can hear your heartbeat the headphones and stuff. You know, you think it's you're thinking it's your heartbeat that you're listening to and stuff, and it really gives you a feeling of dread, and it's a pretty badass game. Looking forward to seeing this version of it. So, all right. I'm sure you heard James Gunn has been announced as part of the writing team for Suicide Squad 2 and may be open to directing the film also. As part of the news, David Bautista came out and said, hey, raise his hand, I want in. And a couple other folks that he's worked with in the past. But an interesting part of it is, do you know about his and Jared Leto's past?
Guns?
Yeah. They're not friends. And there's pretty strong speculation that if James Gunn is writing and is going to direct it, that there's no way Jared Leto is going to be involved in it.
It's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people think that. But James Gunn, in the past, has tweeted, you know, he's gotten in trouble for tweeting jokes about rape and pedophilia and so on and so forth.
That's what got him fired from Guardians.
Well, In the past, he's actually called out Jared Leto on Twitter for being a pedophile.
Oh, no.
And sleeping with underage girls. More than once. So, At one point, former Disney actor Dylan Sprouse tweeted that Jared Leto had slept with all the female models aged 18 to 25. And James Gunn, he tweeted back at it. He starts at 18 on the internet, because apparently he has information that he actually goes a little bit lower than that. And then, again, in 2015, he tweeted also about Jared Leto's desire for sleeping with underage girls. So it's safe to say that Jared Leto is not going to be involved in this particular movie. But it'll be interesting to see how he recasts it. I actually think that Batista would be a good Killer Croc.
Or Bane.
Yeah, or Bane.
So, I mean, he would be a good Killer Croc. A lot of people didn't like the Suicide Squad movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
I liked it. I didn't think it was a bad movie at all.
No. To be fair on the hate side, there were some wasted characters. You know, it was like Killer Croc. He almost did nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Killer Croc is a badass character.
Yeah.
But whenever you're putting together an ensemble, it's very difficult to have like six or seven characters in a 2-hour long movie and be like, okay, well, here's where he grew up and this is where his mom sat.
Yeah.
You know. Killer Croc was kind of wasted. But again, Guardians did it pretty well. They didn't need a whole bunch of origin stories. They just kind of like bounced around real quick and pulled them together. So he's good at guns for certain is good at ensembles. Jared Leto's Joker was ridiculous. No, the Joker is ridiculous, and he comes in many iterations, and that's fine, but it was kind of almost hard to watch.
Yeah.
It was like overacting to the extreme. It's like watching Jim Carrey sometimes, where you're just like, he makes you uncomfortable sometimes. When Jim Carrey acted,
it was
normal,
over the top.
When Jim Carrey would act like a normal person, it was kind of almost like relief. It was kind of like a stress reliever that Jim Carrey was normal.
Like in The Truman Show, he was a lot more normal than any other movie.
Right. Jared Leto as the Joker was kind of like that. It's like, dude.
But luckily he wasn't in the movie very much.
Take those that grill out. Wipe off those tattoos.
That's not the Joker. Right.
That's not him. But, hey, whatever. I enjoyed the movie. And she was awesome as Harley.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's it for me.
All right. Take a quick break. I'll go back and edit out my Rage Against the Machine singing. I'm joking, dude. I never edit shit. If anybody don't like it, that's like 4 seconds of rant. So we'll be right back.
Dark of the night, something strange is going on. You see that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Sure.
They ship those bodies here. Well, say hello.
The dead have risen from the grave.
Mister, there's 100 of those things out there.
How many did you say?
100.
And now the question is, how do we get them back into the ground?
Bert, Frank, we have a little problem.
Four left, 10 right. No.
Medical science is battle.
And it's a puzzle. Because technically, you're not alive.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains.
How do you kill something that's already dead?
Well, how do I know, Fred? I don't know. Let me think. It's not a bad question, Bert. In that movie, they destroyed the brain to kill him. Is that what they did?
The brains, right.
Brains.
Brain!
I hit the brain!
Oh! Get it off! Get it off!
secretary is nervous.
How was your day?
Usual crap.
The police are confused.
Send more cops.
It worked in the movie!
Well, it ain't working now.
Are you in the movie line?
It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert.
The Return of the Living Dead.
And we are back.
Yes, we are.
Super hellified Halloween extravaganza. You've listened to the better part of an hour of us just bullshitting about stuff till we get into the heart of the show where we bullshit about stuff. So if you've stuck with us this long, you're awesome. If this is your first time listening, it doesn't get
a whole lot
better.
Yeah, we're sorry.
It's just what it is. But
go look at our Greatest Hits podcast and you can see which episodes to try to tune into.
But yeah, a couple episodes ago, we had a 2-year retrospective on our favorite episodes, the ones we talked about that we liked the most.
That was our 100th episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was 6 episodes ago. Still on Spreaker, I guess, before I have to delete it. Stupid ass app. Whatever. It tells me, you're reaching your storage limits. I go delete 5 episodes. I post 1, and it's like, you're reaching your storage limit. It's like, how is that possible? I should have opened up like 5 hours. I posted 45 minutes, whatever. Anyway, we'll get that fixed. Rant over. So, in 2 years, we have met and...
a handful of people.
Had people on the show, had a couple of conventions that we ran, gone to locations... met people just reaching out and talking because they did cool stuff. So we thought we'd give everybody a shout out, just talking about some of our favorite folks. So let's start. We're not even starting anywhere near the beginning. We're going to mix it up.
Yeah.
Because if we start,
come to mind.
So. First and foremost, no, I'm joking, it's a mix-up. We're going to reach out because he's been throwing some really kind of funny stuff out there lately about candy bars and costumes.
You listen to this candy bar?
I haven't. He tagged me in it. I've been at work. I haven't been able to listen to shows.
I listened to it.
So I haven't had a chance to. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I have some disagreements with some of their choices. It happens.
But Jesse at Dead Man's Tome, that show... it kind of runs the gamut between like lighthearted and entertaining and like
to serious author interviews.
Serious author interviews.
To shit shows.
Vaguely insulting, but you know, not insulting to me, but just insulting to like people, human beings. But Mr. Deadman over there, he doesn't give a shit.
Oh no.
And he gives a shit less than he gives a shit less whenever people actually text in questions and he takes shots. It's like we, so at the beginning of a show, you've got a cohesive playlist, and then by the end of it, he's just kind of like, I don't know, man. We hit another tequila. But it really is a good show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And real good friend of the show. We're going to get on his show again. We're going to get on his show as a podcast. We need to bring him back.
Yeah.
Let him choose the subject and
take it from there.
Take it from there. Okay, so Sirenicide was complete, just out of the blue.
Yeah, it just a Facebook post brought us together.
And did you see that Johnny and his family are in the new gunship?
Yeah, video? I sure did.
That is phenomenal.
That was a cool little video.
That is a badass video.
Did they do a call for people to send in scenes? Is that what happened?
Yeah, what they did was they put out a call for people to call in and do, like, call in and leave a message with, like, motivational quotes and stuff. You know, just say motivational crap on our answering machine. And that was, like, a few months ago. And then... once they mixed the song, then they posted the song. They're like, this is the audio for the song. post a video of you guys doing stuff to the audio. Like, so obviously, you know, so you're dancing in rhythm, but like do cool things. And that was a few weeks ago. And Johnny and Amy posted like, hey, look, this is us submitting to the gunship video. And lo and behold,
they ended up in it.
They ended up in it, and that was badass. I mean, that was super cool. That record is...
I've been listening to it.
It is incredible. It's really, really good. And, but yeah, and it was, like, Serenicide, man. Like, Johnny was just some dude, just kind of out of the ether, just like, hey, we met on a writing group, and... He and I were like, oh, we're both in Houston. Oh, we both like No Sleep Podcast. Oh, you have a podcast? Oh, so do I. And just kind of went from there. And I wish I didn't live so damn far away, because I'd want to go hang out with them all the time, because they're a lot of fun.
Well, I'm a lot closer now, so.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to jaunt on down there.
Yeah.
Won't have as many pocket beers, but have a couple. Okay, we got to give a big shout out to the Kingwood Asylum guys. Those guys.
They came through for us big, and definitely looking forward to working with them some more.
Those guys, you know, we reached out to them last year just for a little help, just a little bit of, just lend a little bit of gravity to what we're trying to do with the convention. And out of the blue, this dude calls me on the phone. He's like, hey, I like what you're trying to put together. Let me help you. And he drops a crap load of passes and sends out the clowns. And kind of took our first Halloween show from a bunch of dudes standing around in a hotel with like freaking like plastic Walgreens decorations hanging off the doors because there's no hooks to hang anything from. And then boom, in comes Kill Count and Swine.
Right.
Just really
took it up a notch, yeah.
Up that game. And
they were the hit of the show last year, man.
And they were the hit of the show this year, mm-hmm. as well. I mean, they just really killed it. So, you know, sometimes you're sitting around drunk in the middle of the night and you're like, hey, I'm going to send an email. I'll see if anybody responds. And those guys came through in just so many ways.
And with their help, we're going to grow. So.
Yeah, I think our next event's going to be out at their compound. Mm-hmm. I'll call it the compound because if you've ever been to the Kingwood Asylum, it is huge. I mean, it is ridiculously big. And I went on a behind-the-scenes lights-on tour, and I think it took me an hour to get through.
Oh, wow.
As we're walking through rooms with lights on, like, yep, yeah, that's the thing, and that's the thing, and here's the gas jet. Psst. Like, took almost an hour to get from front to back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's for your money, it's worth it. Kingwood Asylum, look them up, hit them up on Facebook. They're going through November 3rd on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, and then Halloween night, obviously. Because yep. How could you be a haunted house and not open on Halloween
night?
But
check them out. Check them out on Facebook, on YouTube. They're...
It's terrifying. All right, and then we got this other stuff coming up very soon. Is their next thing on October 19th?
I think so. October 20th. It's the Saturday.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Jacob.
Yes.
Yep, it's October 20th.
That's an Eastern Rim sort of...
Comic-Con, a little mini Comic-Con.
Okay, it's a mini-con. It's not their big one.
Right.
It's their mini one.
Yep.
Just making sure, because I look at my notes and I'm like, man, I could have completely blown that by looking too many ways at once. But yeah, our friend Jacob out at Eastern Rim Funny Book Show out in Baytown.
Yep.
For whatever, like, I'm completely having a brain fart here. The regular Eastern Rim, this is not it.
It's another event that he's having.
Okay. Just making sure, because it just popped it up right before I started to sit down to write. But no, he came out and we did a whole show with him, promoting the show, talking about, you know, life, the universe, and everything. We're both big Sandman fans. that dude at our Halloween show, he hooked me up with a carded death figure from Sandman. All in all, it was a really, really good day. And so out in Baytown at the Eastern Rim, they're doing another mini show on October 19th.
20th.
I've got 19th.
It's the 20th. 19th is a Friday. I know because I have a procedure that day. It's the Saturday.
Okay, so October 20th.
Yes.
The hell is wrong with me? Don't tell me it's beer, because that's what's not wrong with me. Yeah, it's everything that's else.
That's helping you level off. But Jacob's an awesome guy, very passionate about everything nerdy. He, great guy to talk to. Could have a conversation for hours with that guy. So, loves meeting people. Love to see people come out and check out the panels that he's having and the vendors he's going to have there. And yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Honestly, man, the dude's like a brother from another mother.
Yeah,
he posted like since we kind of bonded over Sandman, and then like off the page, just becoming friends on Facebook. Every now and then he'll post something in a writer's group or some, you know, different things. We're both kind of involved in a bunch of stuff. He posted a bunch of Cure lyrics. And it was like, I had two likes on it, but I don't think anybody realized what it was. And as soon as I looked at it, I was like, holy shit, I didn't think anybody knew that but me. So I went in there and like finished the phrase for him. And it was just like
yeah.
So...
Well, me and him, we had that Bernie Wrightson connection. He's gotten me in a couple of Facebook groups with him, Bernie Wrightson Facebook, and one called Parliament of Trees, which is only about Swamp Thing, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Jacob's awesome, man.
I have to get together. He lives far away, but...
I'm closer to him now.
Yeah. You just moved to the other side of town, man. What you doing? Leaving us suburbanites in the suburbs? All right, let's talk about Lisa and Stitch Smile Publications.
The Dark Queen.
The Dark Queen at Stitch Smile. She invited. We get invited. Scary Dad guys. We got invited to her wedding down in Galveston. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not 100% sure if I can go because I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to be in town because of a work conflict.
Right.
But that's pretty badass. And Lisa works tremendously hard. Finding talent, developing talent, and her cadre of authors is incredible. She's bringing on new people every day.
Well, you know, she was recently on Dittman's Tome with an interview, and if you get a chance, check it out because you'll learn a lot about Lisa, and just you can tell how much she loves what she does, and you know, she does it for very good reasons, very passionate,
and she's damn good at it too.
Yeah.
I think so often, so many times. Intent, especially these days, intent almost trumps ability. Mm-hmm. She's damn good, man. If you've ever read any of her stuff, if you've ever looked at the people that she works with, she's no slouch, man. She's badass.
Well, yeah.
She does a really, really good job. And Stitch Smile has a cadre of authors that's just top-notch. And they're constantly getting better. I will hopefully be one of them pretty soon. I just, for whatever reason, I have so many freaking irons in the fire that it's hard for me to pull one out and hand it over. But no, she and they have been a friend of the show since the beginning, and can't wait to see what we're going to do next as far as events, publications, and just sharing ideas and coming up with ideas, you know, coming up with stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Then there's good old Randy.
L.R. Raji.
That dude is passionate about stuff, man.
I know. When he gets involved, he jumps in head first.
Dude reaches out and he's like, man, like I want to do all this stuff for your show. I'm like, bro, if we could hire Transformers to come out, we would. But those things are expensive. I'm joking, man, but nah. Look up the air guitar competitions. Look up El Arachi. Normally, he's dressed in a mariachi outfit. It's hilarious and badass at the same time.
Awesome guy. Very good guy. Great friend of the show and of us personally.
And how the hell is it? Is he is at a metal concert like every single night?
I know he's always going to concerts.
He's dude. He's living the life. I don't know how he's just like there. Like holy crap. All right. Here, my voice is gone. Give the next couple shout-outs, bro.
Okay. Well, we're on the subject of Randy. We'll go ahead and jump on Andy Gonzalez, Gonzo himself. Helped us out with the show as a vendor. Good friend of the program, good friend of ours. You can find his Facebook page at Gonzo's Toys, Comics and Toys, I believe it is. He's just like me as far as selling comics and toys on the side and just a real big fan of so many things. He's a real big horror fan, too. So, you gotta love that. Favorite horror movie is The Thing. You can't be that with a stick, can you?
Not at all. It's kind of funny. But just one of those things, like conversations on the internet. My grandfather just turned 90. And he's from Brownsville. So, when my grandfather retired, like back in the late 80s, he went to work as a porter at the Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville. It's the zoo down there. Well, one day, Andy posts, you know, how I used to work at the Gladys Porter Zoo back in the day. So I reached out to Andy. I was like, yo, you know, when did you work there? And he was like, you know, mid to late 90s or something, whatever it was. And I was like, did you know a guy named Howard Garrison? And he's like, I don't know, but I only worked there for a short time, maybe. And he's like, what do you have known me? And I'm like, my 90-year-old, vaguely racist grandfather probably is not going to remember a guy with the last name Gonzalez from 40 years, you know, from 25 years ago. But I'll ask him. Of course, my grandfather, being gracious, was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I probably remember that guy. But it was funny anyway. Like, it was good times.
Well, some of those riding on those connection type things, we'll talk about Trace. Now, because I told you the story the other day that Andy told me, when he first met Trace, it didn't connect. He knew he recognized her from somewhere, but then he walked up to him and said, hey, were you the guy that used to take over the Street Fighter video game at the Circle K down the street? Summers wearing a trench coat, and sure enough, that was Trace. Trace is a great friend of the program. Also, he is just about at the professional level of being a haunter. During Halloween, the guy has some nice toys. He has some stuff that I would love to have myself. From having a hearse to some of the nicest Halloween props, decorations, masks, and costumes you can imagine. Professional grade.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
The crazy thing about Trace, man, is he has a whole extra house. And now he actually has two extra houses. Because he's living in the Woodlands. But the first time I ever met him, like, in person, like, it was last year. I was borrowing the werewolf for the Halloween show.
Yeah.
So he sent me an address. And sends me his address. He's like, hey, come over here. And I'm like driving down the street. And it's just like, you know, just regular neighborhood in Katy. And just kind of like cruising. And I glance over and I see this giant spider sitting on a roof. And like, it's all walled off in graveyard. And there's gravestones. So I was like, this has got to be it.
Must be the place.
This must be the place. So I park, and I'm kind of like, you know, I reach out to text him. He walks out the front door of the other house. He's like the house next door. And I'm like looking at my thing, like, nope, that's the house he gave me directions to. So I pull up a little further. He's like, yeah, that's my other house, but this is the one I'm at. And I was just like, man, how cool is that to decorate two houses?
He's got the stuff to do it with, though. But another guy, he's very passionate about horror. He's like a kid in a candy store when it comes to Halloween, dude.
Literally, like, he went and bought a bunch of Halloween candy like a week ago. He's like, hey, guys, look at all the candy I got. It's badass.
Yeah, you want full-size bags of gummy bears, go over to Trace's house. All right, following that up. Let's go ahead. Oh, yeah, that's true. We do have
this is a new one. We only met a friend with these guys here a few months ago.
Right.
But
Chris Davila, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And what's Rob?
Bishop.
Rob Bishop. They are part of the Bayou City Paranormal Symposium put on by Bad Wolf Productions in Houston. I think, what year is they on? Are they on?
They've been around for a long time.
But they're putting on their Bayou City Paranormal Symposium next year, March 9th and 10th of 2019 in Conroe. And they were part of our show this year, a very welcome part of our show, and we're looking forward to taking part in their little event, too.
We will most certainly be, and it was actually, I was introduced to Chris and Rob through Annalise, who's another member of the of the council. They've got their event coming up in March. As the time this airs, it may be over, but they're actually doing a raffle to win to go to a real haunted place to do a ghost hunt.
Okay.
And it's like $2 or $10 entry, and then if you enter and you win, you get to show up to one of their hunts and or to one of their investigations in one of the most haunted places in Texas.
Okay.
So that's pretty damn cool.
But they're a really great, fun group. Like I said, I'm looking forward to their show next year for sure. We're going to be a part of that too, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least, we're going to be promoting the hell out of it, and then we'll be there as podcasters, kind of showing, you know, like discussing and talking with people.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
We'll figure out the details, but yeah, we need to.
We need to get them on the show too. Do a little thing with them.
That's
also.
That's something that's come like. I think
works.
Well, I think once we get past Halloween, before we get into the Christmas grunge, mm-hmm. we're going to get them on. So it'll be, I talked to them at the show, we'll get them on pretty soon.
Okay. And in the same vein, another part of our show was Christopher Rella with Houston Haunted Tours, who gave a really nice panel. He another one that really, really loves the paranormal research side of Houston, in the Houston area. He has some great stories to tell. He does tours under the Houston Haunted Tours. You can find him on Facebook. I think he has a website also. I'm not sure the address of it, though. But yeah, he's an awesome guy, really nice guy, really knowledgeable about the Houston area as far as hauntings and stuff.
I think it's pretty funny. I sat in on his panel. He was talking about the brewery tap.
Yep.
And
yeah, I remember you told that story during our ghost story episode.
But he was talking about how he knew the information came from someone who worked there named Kathy. And I was like, I knew Kathy. I don't know Kathy anymore, and it's been 15 years since I've seen her. But I knew her then. Wonder if I could find her. Seriously, I'll see if I can do a little Facebook research and stalking. Okay. See if I can't find Kathy from the brewery town.
All right. Moving on. How are we with time?
Yeah. What about it?
Okay. Well, with Jay Mazur and Jessica Rainey, a couple of more authors that were involved with our show that are good friends of the program. They've 2 years running. They've been a part of our little Scary Dad Haunted Halloween show. Two excellent writers that you can look up. I think it's The Feathered Tentacle is Jay's Facebook group,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken. You can find out about her works there. She just had a book that got released. She had a release party, when was it, about a month ago for her latest.
Well, I know she had her novel Crone came out a couple of months ago, and then I think she just had one of short stories. Again, there's so many friends of the show that it's hard to have all of the notes
right.
straight. It's not the Tonight Show, so we don't just soundbite you for 30 seconds.
We don't have a teleprompter we're reading off of either.
But both of them are awesome. They're awesome people. They're great people, both online and in person.
Talented.
So check out Feathered Tentacle, but check out Jay Rainey and Jessica Rainey and Jay Mazur.
Yeah.
Both of them separately. Look them up individually and find their writing, because it's different stylings, but they're both really good.
And another shout out to a friend of the program who's been on the show, but Randall Patty with Fun Stuff Comics and Cards out in Katy, Texas. That was a fun show that we did. We went over to his place to interview him, learn more about the shop and what his mission is. Great small town comic book store. He
It's so funny, dude, because like recently I ran across that old episode, and he was so new. Like, he was so new. He's just like, I don't know. I kind of know what I'm doing. But he's really built it in the last few months.
Oh, yeah.
And to be kind of the destination place for just about everybody out there.
He's a great guy, so it kind of draws people to him. You know, he takes care of his customers and everything, doesn't try to rip anybody off.
He had a mission and a plan, and he's been following it. Yeah. So, I mean, when was that? Like 6 months ago, 8 months ago?
It was a while back. Yeah.
But in the last several months, it just kind of really has snowballed in his favor. And
oh, yeah. He's doing very well. It's good to see a shop doing that well. So
definitely.
But, if your one-stop location for comics and cards. You know, he's always bringing in new collections you can check out, and he always prides himself on being able to find books that you're looking for. So look up Fun Stuff Comics and Cards out in Katy. Randall's a good dude. Like I said, friend of the program for sure. And we can go ahead and go with Michael Vacmill, another friend of the program, the king of the Houston Vampire Court. He was also recently on Jesse's podcast. They did an interview right before our show that just got released that you might want to check out and listen to.
It was funny because I knew that they were going to do that because, well, I was doing vendor profiles, but there was only so much I could do in a day. There's only so many words I could write. I was popping vendor profiles, and Michael reached out and was like, hey, how do I get a vendor profile? I was like, well, if you're going to be on Jesse's show this weekend, let me just wait till Monday and I'll post it then. Never, it didn't
the show post. Came out after.
Came out after. So sorry, Mike. I know, I do the best I can over here, but it did happen. So it's popped. I'll listen to it tomorrow. I got to catch up on Jesse's show.
Yeah.
I'm about
he
four
puts
episodes.
Out three episodes a week.
Easy. I know. I'm about four or five episodes behind.
So Michael did a great panel. He was out there discussing the Vampire Court and selling his incense and other things. Michael's a good dude. He's trying to bring the Houston Vampire Court to a new level. So he's out there promoting it, and you can see him on. There's one episode of Extreme Love that he's on. He's been in the Houston press. He's out there making it happen.
He's doing his thing, man.
Oh, yeah. All righty.
Well, we're going to let Michael be the final player, the headliner for this
episode.
This part of the two-part Halloween episode of Scary Dad. Stay tuned. Come back in next week to listen to the rest of the shout-outs and then what we got planned for Halloween. So until next time, guys, keep it scary.
Later.